Hey guys, welcome back to Mastering You, the Lifestyle Performance Podcast. Matt Sutton here. I am your host for today's awesome episode with Joseph Droshkin. So Joseph is a personal coach, a business coach. He helps people live out their dreams. And that is the focus of today's topic, okay? It really is about living your full potential in life. And why wouldn't you want to do that? I think this is a real masterclass in personal development. I think you're going to really enjoy this one. If you've enjoyed the episodes around kind of like mindset and overcoming your challenges, you know, overcoming your fears, then you want to listen to this episode. We cover the topic of creating your life vision. That's something that Joseph's really passionate about. And he does with his clients when they first start. You want to check Joseph out. He's got some really cool programs and offerings. So we'll put all of the links to Joseph's offerings in the show notes as well. And I'm going to leave it there because I really want you just to dive straight into the show. I think you should make some notes, okay? And let me know what you think as well. Go over to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review, help us keep this show going with lots of awesome feedback. Without further ado, let's get into today's episode with Joseph Droshkin. Okay, Joseph, we are live. Welcome to Mastering You. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to join us. It's always a pleasure to meet people across the pond. I'm looking at a fantastic background view. I thought it was where you are, but you did say that it was where you were recently. It's an amazing view. I'm really looking forward to getting on a holiday, hopefully at some time. We're still not allowed to leave the country at the moment in the UK. So any beautiful scenery like what you've got going on is very envious. Whereabouts are you actually, Joseph?
I'm actually living in the mountains in South Carolina.
Right. Okay.
So the picture you're looking at was from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, up in the mountains. It was a cabin up in, it was absolutely, I mean, that you see what it looks like.
Yeah.
But I live in beautiful. South Carolina.
Yeah. You guys listening might want to check out the YouTube channel just so you can see the background view. It's amazing. So you're allowed to move around the country at the moment, Joseph?
Yes, we are. Yeah, a lot of masks everywhere you go and such, but you know, you can move around. And one of the things I love about, you know, I'm from Detroit, Michigan, is where I grew up and such. So this is kind of a different living here, but it's how I've always wanted to live. And I'm like 5 minutes from trout streams, waterfalls, you know, dirt roads and things like that and stuff. So, and it's how I always wanted to live. And today I get to live that way.
Yeah.
So fantastic. I'm really, really glad to be here with you this morning, Matt.
Well, that's what interested me. You know, I'm really interested to talk to people that are really passionate about helping people live out the highest versions or highest visions of their life. And I was just chatting to you before we started about kind of explaining why I started the podcast and why, you know, personal development is such an important part for me of the process of growth and life growth. But, you know, a lot of people find our company just to lose a bit of weight, just a few pounds on the scales. And, you know, they're not really thinking, oh, I need to work on my mindset. And I'm not,
right.
not thinking about goals and vision and all of this stuff. But then what happens, obviously, like, you know, is after a few weeks, you know, that the initial like high of, oh, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to get into my bikini or whatever, you know, that wears off. And then so you have to ask the question, well, what's the most effective thing that I need to be spending my time on, you know? And so having someone like yourself with such an awesome background, we'll go into that in a second, you know, I'd love to know, actually, I've got a question for you just to kick things off.
Sure.
What is it about personal development that really is important to you? Why is personal development so important to you? And when did that first kind of switch flick?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, when you talk about that, with people will come to you for, you know, for nutrition and working out and stuff. But it's like peeling an onion. There's another layer and another layer and another layer. You know, the reason people overeat, binge watch TV and do things like that is because they have these discontents within them that either fear or whatever reason we'll get into, that they're not bringing those out. So once we start bringing those out, those other things like the overeating, binge watching TV and all that just fall into place. Because we're living more with our purpose and through passion. So this all started for me, honestly, from a young child. You know, I grew up in a very low income family in Detroit, Michigan, with my mom and dad both work as many hours as they could and five kids. And I watched them struggle their whole life. And I remember being young and thinking, man, something's not right here. But then I found myself going into my adulthood and struggling the exact same way. And I was like, man, this doesn't make sense. I know it's not right. And that's when I started stepping into, and I have over three decades and hundreds of thousands of dollars in education, certifications, coaching, you know, programs, things like that to overcome that. And today, Matt, I get to help people. What took me years to learn, I get to help people to make those shifts in weeks and months in their life. And really shifting out of that mode of living by our conditions and our paradigms and blocks and things like that, and really shifting those and opening up to what we truly desire to experience from life.
Do you remember that period? What you just mentioned, that word, like that paradigm. So that paradigm shift. Was there a time that you can remember when you were younger days when you just like realized that this is time that there is a change, and I know there is a change that can be possible?
Yes, I was 23 years old, and I was listening to a gentleman speak. His name was Jack Boland, and he was really big within the Unity Church, and I didn't know who he was really and stuff, but I listened to him talk, and to this day, I cannot tell you who he, you know, like what he said, rather, but it lit this passion in the depths of my soul. And I walked away from there knowing my life is that I wanted to inspire, motivate, and lead people to live better lives. But I was looking at this, and I'm struggling financially, and I'm struggling in relationships. I was at a point where it felt like life wasn't right, whatever I was doing, unless there was struggle attached to it. And that was a key for me, that I need to work on this. And then as I continued to pour into that, it led into the next thing. Because, you know, when I was 22, 23 years old, there wasn't life coaching title or things like that. You know, there was the Wayne Dyers and the people like that and stuff that I followed. You know, later on, Tony Robbins would start coming out and such. But so I didn't know what that looked like back then. I just knew that I did not want to repeat my parents' lives. And I didn't want to have children that would then repeat that. And it started there, and then it just has continued to spread into everything I do today.
Cool. Okay. So what was the first big thing that helped you go through that paradigm mindset shift and starting to make real massive changes in your own life?
Yeah, from there, like, you know, kind of the basic educational things with the Wayne Dyers and getting programs, things like that in my 20s. And it was, I was right around 30 years old when I really took my first coaching, where I worked with somebody and they started helping me. Now, Matt, I'll tell you this too. I drove my life so far into struggle that I ended up in a recovery program for alcohol. You know, so, wow. So I mean, when I say I ran my life by struggle, like I really ran it that deep into it and stuff, to where I had to reach out for help. And once I did that, and once I got somebody I started working with, all of a sudden they started pointing things out to me I wasn't even aware of that I was doing, that were those paradigms, patterns of habit. And so as I started noticing those, I started learning, going deeper into understanding the mechanics of it, understanding the tools to help shift that, and then putting those into practice. And like my whole adult life has really been experimental in a lot of ways, because I just kept trying things. I would get a book by Wayne Dyer, Think and Grow Rich, and I would create a life study out of it for myself to follow through and go, you know. And so I continued doing that. And then I went from one program. I have mentors like Bob Proctor, Mary Morrissey, you know, Wayne Dyer. I consider him a mentor of mine because of the depths of studies I've done with it and stuff. And so I just continued to lean into it. And as I started noticing shifts in my life, that desire to bring it outwardly and help other people do the same thing grew and grew. And so, you know, the other thing is I have a 28-year career in corporate America. I was telling you before, and I was a vice president of sales, helping companies that were in or headed into bankruptcy to come out that other side profitable. I learned so much through that, but it wasn't my passion. And so for a while I tried doing what I'm doing now. So, you know, while I was working full time there, because I was afraid to let that go. And then probably about 7-8 years ago, I finally just put in my resignation. I said, I'm done. I was in Iowa at the time. I said, I'm done. I want to go to South Carolina. I've always wanted to live in the mountains. I found a house here and a home and bought it and moved here. And I've been going forward ever since.
Amazing. Amazing. Amazing story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to talk about vision because,
yes.
Because it's one of those things that, and I'd like to get your input on this as well. Like personal development. I've spoke about this a lot on the podcast. So I often, I don't know if you've ever sort of had it as well, but you can get a bit of pushback. You know, people think once you go down that sort of rabbit hole, it's all a little bit woo woo. And people start to kind of like, just think you're a bit airy fairy and whatever. And it's like, it's firstly, it's like educating people around that. But also when it comes to like personal development and vision, obviously for people that come to us, often a lot of their goals are just that their vision is just, I want to see a different scale sign. Like I want to see 11 stone rather than 12 or whatever. But you know, what we obviously, the conversation that we have with our members is, well, when you're making these small habit changes to your life, you know, whether it's your fitness, your nutrition, ultimately there's going to be a longer term goal. Yes, you may want to get into that bikini or that clothing size, but ultimately these habits are going to require some sacrifices. And actually those sacrifices might turn out to be pretty cool and going forward. So we need to kind of start to build an overall picture of what that may look like, because often one of the big mistakes people make, particularly with body transformation, is they want to put these new habits into an existing life. And that's why after 2 weeks, the diet that they're following suddenly doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because they've not made adjustments in their life to give it time or for it to even work. And so this is where I'm personally a big fan of creating, even if it's not a grand vision of, well, I'm going to be this multimillionaire and I'm going to have a six pack in 12 months.
Right.
But even if it's just like, well, 6 weeks or 12 weeks time, this is a vision in my life. This is an idea that I have in my head and that would look really good. And the reason I do that, because I don't know if you get hit with this, but a lot of people with vision, it's a bit like mission and values and all these other things. You know, it's quite grand. And so the moment you mention like creating your life vision, people almost get a little scared and they sort of, it seems like a lot of pressure. And it seems like if you're creating this grand vision, well, that means that you can have a grand failure, you know? So how do people go about creating a vision that they can believe in, a vision that they're excited about and they're not scared about?
Sure. That's a great question. That's, you know, first at the beginning of when you started talking right there, you talked about people wanting to get into bikinis and things. I have no need to get into a bikini, man.
I don't know, man. It'll look good.
but seriously, like everything I do, whether I'm working with somebody in their health and their well-being, their love relationships, vocation, time, money, freedom, whatever it is, retired people, whatever it is I start with a vision. You know, I learned to do that when I was helping those companies in bankruptcy come out the other side. When you're continually talking about your problems grow. And I know there's some thoughts about wishful thinking, you know, vision boards, things like that. People think it's, you know, pie in the sky type of stuff and everything. But what it does really is it brings clarity and it brings focus to what it is you truly desire. So when I work with anybody, I'll work with them. The first thing we do is start talking about what is that vision? What is it that you want life to look like? You know, now with what you were saying as far as the expansion of that and how the bigness of it, the bigger that vision is, the more you're stepping outside of your comfort zone. So, you know, if to come up with a small vision, like, you know, whatever it may be, is helping us. So often people will want to create visions based on being able to stay within their comfort zone, because that's where we feel the safest and most protected. That's where we have the most control. Although life just revolves year over year over year of the exact same thing again. So the bigger the step we take outside of our comfort zone, the more fear is going to be associated. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, how to manage that fear. But understanding there is going to be fear in achieving your goals and your true vision for your life. I separate visions and goals. Goals are to-dos. Goals are all about the human doingness of us. Vision is all about the human beingness of us. You know, it's what we truly desire. It's what's inside of us that wants to come out and be expressed on the outside and how we want to experience this lifetime. And the reason I'm so passionate about what I do is because we get one time around the loop on this. 10 years goes by and you're just continuing to repeat the same patterns over. You don't get to replay that. You got to pick up from there. So the sooner people, I can help people to get that vision started and going. And you're right, there is fear with it. So we don't start out with, you know, the Taj Mahal. You know, we start out with, what does that beautiful, you know, home look like for you? Or what's that next step? Or what does that ocean house, you know, the ocean home look like? Or what do you want to do career-wise? What is your creativity coming up? And follow through there. But everything starts with a vision. And the reason it's so important to do that is because it sets our focus on something. So we're less likely to get pulled in other directions. When we get a vision, when we get into being, like, what does it look like to be that person in that vision? It's easier to work through the fears that are going to be associated with that step. Does that make sense, Matt?
And I suppose the counter argument to setting, you know, working on creating a vision for yourself that, you know, isn't too grand is you also, on the flip side of that, if it's not grand enough, you just won't be excited about it. And you probably, the goals that you set within the vision aren't, you're not going to achieve because you're kind of like, yeah, that'd be good, but not that first. So it's getting that balance right, you know, between not setting a vision that seems, maybe it's something that you so want that you're scared you might get it, compared to something that you think you can achieve, but
right,
it's almost too achievable.
Yeah, the two things I run into when I'm helping people vision, and I have a whole, you know, practice of how I do this and tools and stuff to help people create what I call dynamic visions for their life. And so the two things we run into, one is people, because of that fear, people will think smaller, you know, they'll reduce it down from what they really, really want. And that's what happens to us in life so often, is we have this, we all have grand visions for our life of how we'd love to live. And a $1 billion house might not be my vision, but it might be yours. And that's okay. But people will settle for much less and they end up living this mediocre life when there's so much more available to them. So I'll help them pump that vision up from where they come up with from that side. And then the other side of the other thing that comes up a lot of times with the vision is the how. You know,
yeah.
Bob Proctor does this better than anybody I've known, but he talks about goals being three types of goals. We have A, B, and C. A goals are things we do all the time. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, you know, whatever it is, like all those things we do all the time. B type goals are the goals that are contingent on something else. You know, I'll do this once the kids are grown, or I'll do this once I retire, or I'll do this at, you know, it's conditional. Something has to happen. And then there's a C type goals where it's like, I don't know how the hell I'm going to accomplish this. Those are the kind of goals that we want to build into the vision. Because what happens through all this is as we start putting our attention where our intention is, which is the vision, things start showing up out of the blue. We overhear a conversation that gives us information or somebody will show up, the right person will show up at the right time, the right information, a book, whatever it is. Well, maybe this conversation will show up for somebody that really, you know, needs to hear this right now that can help them impact their life. And so when we live by that vision, when we get into that place of that vision, we're more receptive to picking up those clues, picking up those things coming about. When we're not living by a vision, we're living by our situations, circumstances, and conditions, we're more likely to be blocked off. And not that they're not showing up, but we don't receive them as well.
Do you think that's a lot? You mentioned earlier when we first started about conditioning. Do you think that's part of why there's been a massive sort of personal development explosion after over the last sort of 10, 15 years? Because ultimately, we kind of are conditioned to not set those C goals. Like when we're like 4 or 5 years old, we want to achieve, want to be an astronaut, we want to be president. And then we're kind of told by maybe teachers or sometimes parents, you know, you can't do that. Be realistic and you know, stay in your lane and, you know, sort of been dumbed down and not we're not sort of maybe encouraged enough to take bold action, you know. And so people get into their 20s and then they start, you know, life and they run the mill of well, I have to get a job 9 to 5 and have to work these hours and, you know, taking big action and actually having goals that are like, I don't know how I'm going to do that. There's, you know, you have to almost start again.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm a good student of that. I grew up and was told multiple times through my schooling years that some people are meant to work with their heads, some people are meant to work with their hands, and you're going to work with your hands. And I was told that repeatedly over and over and over, and I believed that. So when I came out of high school, I got a job at a factory, you know, and I started working that way, and I knew it didn't fit me, but that was the conditioning. You know, if you're raised by my parents who struggled financially, great people struggled financially though, and things like that, you'd have different conditioning than if you were raised by Bob Proctor, you know, or you know, Trump or anybody that's of great wealth and things like that. You know, you have different conditioning. So our conditioning is not our fault. But what happens is because we live in it over and over, we don't even realize we're living by those boundaries and those limitations in our life.
You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. So as working with somebody like you or me, we can help point that, just like people did for me, they could help point that out of things I didn't even recognize or realize that's what I was doing. And so then we can start going through the process of making those shifts, and it can happen so much quicker and so much with fun and ease of doing it. It's not drudgery, and it doesn't have to be drudgery going through the process of that. It's really more of an awakening or an opening of opportunities beyond what we've ever realized. My whole life of what I do right now is based on what we're talking about. It's based on stepping into my fears. You know, I was on stage, the first time I was on stage with 350 plus people or something, I was standing by the side of the stage and there were two steps and then the platform, you know, the stage itself. And I was standing there as they were introducing me, and man, I was looking around. I knew where every door was, where the closest door was. And there's something inside of me going, run, run, run. And I took that first step up on, you know, the first step up, and it grew and it intensified. And I took the second step and it got even stronger. And I couldn't believe I didn't leave. But as soon as my foot touched that stage, it all left and I was home. And the whole thing went the way it went, and, you know, and that's what happens. Fear is always the greatest just before our stepping off point. It grows, grows, grows. And then once we step into it, it dissipates.
And the question is, what, you know, when do you notice that there's not enough fear because you're not putting yourself out your comfort zone enough? Because like you said, you don't know what you don't know. So you could be listening to this thinking, yeah, well, life's pretty good, but not realizing that you probably could reach your potential more. Maybe you haven't challenged yourself in your life with your fitness, with your career, however you want to challenge it for a while. And maybe it's time to like step up. And, you know, we do that at LPT. We have like a 6-week program. It's a very simple 6-week program. And for some people, like, you know, making that first step to actually get in contact and then turn up to that first session, that first assessment is huge for them. It's like just such a big thing. And that's why we like, you know, say massive well done for just taking the courage or having the courage to just do that first thing. Because after that, we know that they're good. You know, they're good to go.
Yes.
So with just one more thing on, like, what's some of the top mistakes people make with vision?
You know, one of the top mistakes people make with vision is that they don't make them big enough. they don't, you know, they're afraid because of what you said. They're afraid of going too big with their vision because they're going to be disappointed. But realistically, inside, we have two internal growth signals to help us, to spark us to grow. Our longings, which are the things that we're longing to be, do have experience, and our discontents, the areas of life where we feel discontent. And so when people are going with the mindset that I'm afraid of making too big of a vision because of disappointment, if they realize you're already living in disappointment because you have that desire and you've already decided not even to take an initial step into it, which is what you were just saying. You know, I do a lot of free workshops. I do the first Saturday of every month, I do a vision calibration group where we get together and it's not lectures and sales and things like that. It's all about just getting into our vision, doing some really cool exercises and just spending an hour living in our, you know, living in our vision, getting deeper into our vision. It's amazing how many people will register for something like that, but then not show up. And it's really fear-based that they don't show up. If you have something that doesn't cost you anything and it's an hour of your time to help inspire and motivate you, you know, and you can't step past that fear. And here's one of the things that I believe personally and know is my truth is, you know, when we talk about people reaching their potential and everything else, we're not just doing it for ourselves. It's not a selfish life. We're not doing it just for ourselves. There's a reason in this world why we have a potential, and to reach that improves the world for everybody.
Yeah.
The mark you have, I can tell you're very passionate about what you do, but part of that is the impact that you have on other people. And anybody who steps into their vision and reaches their potential and things like that is going to have that key element included into it as well.
Ah, for me, it's all about impact. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's number one
this
thing.
This world so badly needs that right now. It needs people to step up to their potential, bring their unique gifts, talents, and such forward so that it can help to regenerate this world in a different way than the direction we've been going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So you've got, let's say someone, okay, I was just going to add. So one of the things that I find is people sometimes do the work. They take the time and they'll maybe spend a good time on it, a few hours, maybe even a whole day. We were running like a workshop before COVID and a few times called Mastering You Day. And we would spend a whole day just on this stuff. But the mistake a lot of people make, a bit like goal setting, is just not reviewing that progress and not coming back to like, okay, well, I remember setting my vision like 3 years ago. How's that going?
Yes.
Or even three months ago. Like I sort of say to people, you need to be regularly reviewing that thing. And is that something you get people to do?
Absolutely. And that's what makes the difference. It made a difference for me when I was doing my self-study programs and I put it together myself out of Think and Grow Rich or things like that, Wayne Dyer, you know, it would get me to a certain point, you know, and then it kind of fades. It's kind of like what I see with a lot of people with vision boards. They'll put all the work into it, create this awesome vision board. And then like 2.5 years later, they see it in the closet. They're going, oh yeah, I forgot all about that, you know? And yes, that's what, like your programs, my programs, that's what working with somebody like us does, is it helps keep an emphasis on that. It helps keep a focus on that, because ultimately what we're trying to do is get our intention, which is creating the life that we desire, aligned with our attention. And as long when those two are in alignment, we can't miss. It's impossible. And it's not a philosophy, it's physics. It's the law of energy. Where energy flows is where things are created through. So it's helping to keep that support on task, you know, moving forward in that direction. That's really what coaching is. And then having somebody with a proven, you know, track record of people who've literally changed their lives and working with them is what makes a difference.
Yeah, and vision, obviously it's ever changing as well, right? You know, you may set a vision for 10 years or a decade ahead, but you know, after 1 year, you may have read a book or watched something or had a conversation that completely changed the whole idea of where that vision is, and that may change. And I guess it's a bit like fitness and training as well. Like you don't just do your 6 weeks, hopefully, and then think, well, I've done that now. Like, I'll leave that for another decade. You know, you're constantly continually working on your fitness, like you should do with, you know, I suppose you don't even have to call it your vision. It's just like, what do I want my life to look like? You know, have a goal. I love that. One of the things I love about Jordan Peterson is just that's like the constant message he puts out is just have a target, have a goal. What's your goal? Yes. Where are you going? Like, you need, like, why wouldn't that be something that everyone should be doing all the time?
Fear is the reason why, and conditioning and patterns. You know, you're absolutely right. I have a 12-week, very powerful program called Life Ignited. And I take people through it either one-on-one or as a group and things like that. And one of the things I want to say, I only work with 7 new clients a month one-on-one and 5 people to a group. I am not one of these people who herd hundreds of people at a time through programs. And, you know, I'm not saying nothing bad about people who do, but I want to make sure everybody I work with gets that personal support. They get that inspiration, motivation, and somebody to work with them, to be at their side, guiding and helping them through this process of transformation in their life. So when you said that about with the, oh my God, I lost my train of thought.
Jordan.
Yeah. You had mentioned that with, you know, when people go into it with their vision and that 12-week program, Life Ignited program, there's multiple times that we go back to the vision and we update it. I work off of 3-year visions. So when we create a vision for our life, we do it over 3 years out. The reason I do that is because if you stick to, now goals are different, but if you stick to 6 months, a year, your situation and circumstances are so close, you won't be able to see as much potential. 3 years, you could have a whole brand new life in 3 years. So it opens that doorway up there. And then we go back to that several times throughout the program. The reason being is because our vision is as alive as we are. So as we're growing, as we're transforming, as we're, you know, coming more and more into it, it's going to change. That's the human condition. You know, when you get a new car and you have that as a vision and you end up with that new car, 6 months later, now you want a motorcycle or you want a boat or you know what I mean? And that's the human condition. And I'm using material things, but it's the same thing with our growth and our personal development. As we start achieving, as these things start showing up in our visions, then it expands it. That's exactly what's supposed to happen.
I mean, we had Andrew Kapp on who wrote The Last Law of Attraction. We had him on the podcast and we talked a lot about law of attraction. And one of the things that came off that, you know, the big conversation was, well, whether you believe it's like some magical entity that's, or some energy that's at present, or even if you don't, like at the end of the day, if you're just focusing on what you want, you probably got a far bigger chance of getting it than never thinking about it, never working on it, never putting any effort into it. I mean, at the very least, right?
Absolutely. So many people, you know, having a vision gives you what you just said. It gives you a place of focus. Without having that place of focus, so many people will tend to end up with their focus being on fear, doubt, and worry and things like that. That ends up leading to dis-ease in their life or disease.
Well, it gives you clarity as well, right? So like I'm a big fan of like more of like a neuroscientific approach to coaching and helping people be able to think in their prefrontal cortex and you know, and making sure that when they're thinking from the right place. And clarity is one of our 4 C's. And, you know, because clarity gives us certainty. And, you know, we've seen this from COVID. So many people are struggling with stress, anxiety, depression, or worry or fear because they're lacking that clarity. They're lacking the clarity about what's going to happen next. And, you know, that's fair enough because that's just the human emotion at work. And just understanding that alone can help you. But actually working on, well, what can I control? What vision for myself is held in my hands? Well, that can start to give you more clarity. And when you've got more clarity, you've got more certainty, you know, and when you've got more certainty, you gain more confidence and then you gain more capabilities. And that, you know, that's huge because then you can start to make progress.
Yes. And so, when you look at like a great, the best example I can think of is, remember the wildfires a few years back in California?
Yeah.
I'm sure you heard about it.
Yeah.
And I was watching I was watching the media coverage on it and stuff. I'm not huge into, you know, CNN constant negative news, but I was watching it just, you know, like it was such, you know, devastating and stuff. And I'm watching it and they're interviewing this couple and it shows them standing there with each other, you know, and they're weeping and they're really upset. And, you know, you can see the house in shambles behind them and smoke still coming up and stuff. And they said, you know, how do you feel? And they go, man, we lost everything. And the wife couldn't even talk, you know, so the husband's going, we lost everything in this, you know, we lost it. And they talked to him for about half a minute. And then they go and show some of the scenes. They talk about some other stuff. And a little while later, they interview another couple. And they're standing there and they're holding hands with each other. And you could see they were upset. And that same background scenes, very similar with the house and stuff like that. And they said, how do you feel? And they said, you know what? And they squeezed each other's hand and held and lifted it up. And they go, we have everything that's important. All the other stuff is just stuff.
Mm.
The difference between those two situations, wow. I couldn't find a better example to explain it. Having a vision, a clear vision, having focus on that is what brings about that perception, because ultimately our life is made up of our perception.
Amazing.
Of the way we see things.
Yeah. So let's say someone has that vision in place, Joseph, and they're working towards it. One of the common things that happens with a lot of people, particularly a lot of members that we have who are striving towards their fitness and weight loss goals, is now and again those self-sabotaging behaviors will kick in, and they'll you know, that they've got these big aspirations, these big visions, but for some reason they sabotage the process themselves. What's going on there, and how can people take control of that?
Yeah, so having the vision is the first part, right? So now you have this vision and it excites you. You know, you can put it on, you can read that vision, get into the feeling tone of it. You said clarity, you know, about clarity. Clarity is power. Clarity, there's so much power in having clarity on your vision, your focus, things like that. Michael Singer in The Untethered Soul, I love this. I love that book. Is he talks about how, you know, the intention of our mind is to help us solve complex problems. That's what the intention of it is. But so many people allow their mind to run their life. That's why there's so many people in fear, doubt, and worry. Now, that's why in COVID, you see people who are absolutely devastated. And then you see other people that reignited their family. And it's like, man, this brought us together, back together again. We're eating dinners together. We're doing something. You know, and when you look at that, that's how we're using our mindset. That's where we're putting our perception and our focus. And you know, which way we're looking at it. And the cool thing, Matt, is we get to choose. The not so cool thing or the harder thing is only we can choose for ourselves. Mm. Where coaching comes in, we're having the vision, doing all the other tools, the shifting of the paradigms and conditioning, all of that is what helps us take that decision to live by our highest potential and implement that and see that happen in our life.
Yeah, no, awesome. So just going back to the self-sabotage, like the small habits that people are trying to stick to. Obviously you're saying, well, vision is number one, because if that's grand enough, if that's clear enough in your mind, then that's going to solve a lot of those issues. So, you know, that's a good sort of checkpoint, is next time, you know, you keep falling off the wagon with your nutrition, or you find yourself, you know, skipping your training sessions, you know, coming back to, well, what's the bigger, deeper vision of my life? Like, and am I moving, you know, closer to that, or am I going backwards towards a place where I'm not sure that that's going to be much good? More immediate kind of in the moment sort of strategies for people to really, you know, kick themselves back into gear?
Yeah, sometimes when I'm speaking to a crowd, because now you got the vision, right? And everybody put the vision, but all of a sudden it's like, I'm not reading it, I'm not getting into it, I'm not putting like things like that, and that self-sabotage you're talking about. And one of the things I talk to people, like when I'm doing a workshop, I'll say, how many of you would ever speak to another person the way you talk to yourself? With the words you use. And people will kind of chuckle a little bit. And I'll say, how many of you would ever speak to another person the way you talk to yourself? and people laugh. And I understand the humor in that, but that is so devastating to our life, the way we talk to ourselves and which thoughts we entertain. You know, we're not responsible for that first thought that comes into our head, Matt, but we are responsible for buying it a condominium with a built-in pool, tennis courts, and all the other amenities. We get to choose which thoughts we entertain and which ones we discard. It doesn't always seem that way. It seems like those, especially the thoughts of fear, doubt, and worry, can come up so strong. It's almost like a battleground in some ways, but there are ways to shift that. And when we start by looking at how do we talk to ourselves, which thoughts are we entertaining, that is like a huge step up into living a true vision-driven life.
What are your top strategies for that then, Joseph? Are we talking like journaling, or what sort of things do you get your clients to do to start to understand? I mean, this is a common theme of this podcast, is it always comes back to self-awareness, right? Knowing why the actions and behaviors that you have exist.
Yeah, I haven't found much in life that doesn't come back to self-awareness. Really, to be honest with you. I mean, one way or another, you know, I wrote a book called Life's Lessons. And it's all about when we look at the things that are happening in our life, when we take the judgment out of it, there's no good or bad, right, wrong, fair or unfair, any of that. And when we look at life happens for us and not to us, then we can start asking a question. Why is this happening right now? What's it here to show me? How's it here to teach me, grow me, expand me, things like that? All of a sudden, the events happening in our life can have a whole different perception to them, where we can grow from them rather than feeling like we're beat down by them.
Yeah.
So when we take
that's just huge as well. That particularly at the moment with the way the world is, that's just like, if people didn't just hear that, what you, Joseph, just said, like rewind and just listen to that again, because that is just absolute gold. It's, you know, you can change the paradigm of the moment. You know, if you feel like things are really struggling, you can find the opportunity, you can find the growth in that.
Yeah. And what, you know, I have multiple tools I work with my clients on, and it's not so much like I will go into in-depth writing and things like that. If somebody has a pattern, a financial pattern, you know, I was taught that, you know, heard things growing up, like money doesn't grow on trees. What do you think we are, the Rockefellers, things like that and stuff like that. And so as I started shifting that in my life, one of the exercises I did is I wrote down all of those negative money stories, financial stories, money doesn't grow on trees. I just an exhaustive list of them, Matt. And then I took a clean sheet of paper and I wrote an empowering story for each one of those. My empowering story is that there is so much financial abundance in this world that every living, breathing person could have more than they could ever use, and there'd still be an unlimited supply. That money literally grows on trees because it's paper. And I would talk that, and I would speak that, and I'd read it in the morning, and I'd read it until it became part of me. And as we do that, see what happens is so often we want to take the stuff that's not serving us and just get rid of it and discard it and then move forward. That's the thing where you talked about, we want to bring new into being, but we don't really into being the old person that we are, you know, being who we are. What happens though is when we discard something, if we don't put something else in its place, it's going to find its way back in there.
Yeah.
So we take out that, and I have tools I use with my clients that I call up until now tools where it's just a speaking thing where we talk about what's that limiting belief. And then we move into bringing about a powerful belief. And then as we do that more and more, it doesn't take long for that to start shifting. And all of a sudden I have clients like a week into working with me, call me up going, oh my God, I got three cool up until now statements, you know, three new ones I found. It becomes exciting when we realize those limitation parts of us, because we know we can shift those and bring about more power in our life.
Amazing. Amazing. My final question is around habits. So, you know, obviously we know, again, just going back to the neuroscience, you know, repetition is where it starts with habit. And, you know, we have so many people that join us and that they want to see fast results, obviously, particularly when it's weight loss. But obviously we explain to them, you know, the habits and I don't like the term bad habits, but the habits that you have maybe have been built over 10, 15, 20 years. So obviously in 6 weeks to start with, you know, that we're not going to completely transform those, but we can make a good damn start on it.
Yes.
You know, have you got any top tips around building habits? Maybe maybe leapfrogging the process to building better habits. What's your thinking around habits in general?
Yeah, our habits are, you know, that's when I say paradigms or habits of belief, you know, that we repeat over and over and over. And so as we start doing the work of looking at, we have habits that are serving us. They're leading us into our vision. They're leading us forward. We build those habits and stuff. And then we have habits that are limiting us. Everyone does. You know, I've been doing this work for 3 decades. You know, Bob Proctor's been doing it for 60 years or 50 some years. He still has those that he works on and continues to, you know, shift those in his life and stuff. We have those patterns. We have the ones that are serving. I like that you said you don't really call it bad habits because I don't either anymore. But we have the serving habits, the things we do that are serving us towards our vision. And then we have the limiting ones. It's no more complicated judgmentally than that. And so what we do is as we start noticing the limiting ones, is we start shifting those with more positive ones. There's all kinds of information on do that, on how to do that. Part of the thing I do with my programs and the clients I work with and such is, like I said, what took me years to learn how to do, I have clients doing that in weeks. I have clients who are going, living week to week, barely able to make it and scrape by within a month of working with me, have started a savings account and they're building on that savings account. I have had people I had a guy come to me one time for business coaching. He said, I don't want somebody to come in and coach my team. I want to learn how to do it so I can coach them. 2 weeks into working together, I found out he had a 37-year marriage that he and his wife coexisted. Now, that's not why he came to me. He wasn't planning on addressing that. But because, like you know, Matt, when you go into coaching, when you go into personal development, it covers the gamut.
It has to, doesn't it? It has to.
Yeah. The fifth week I was working with him, I was doing a live workshop up in Michigan. He happened to be there. And I said, and I was kind of kidding him. And I said, hey, would you like to come up and do a live testimonial? And he goes, yeah. Okay. So he came up there and he talked about like why he came to me. He talked about the fact of how it came out about his marriage. And now remember, this is 5 weeks into working together. Wow. And I said, so what's it like now? And he said, you know what? It's like we're newlyweds again. We dinner together. We have conversation. We lay on the couch, eat popcorn and watch movies. We have date night where he said, it's just, you know, struck this whole thing. And I said, so let me ask you a question. I know you've been, everybody here knows you've been working with me for 5 weeks now. What has your wife done over this 5 weeks? And he goes, she hasn't done nothing. And everybody laughed. But what the point of it is, Matt, when we change, when we expand, when we grow, when we go into this personal development, our whole world outside of us, even the people in it, start shifting as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we start noticing differences in all areas of our life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we see that here, you know, just simple things like when our members start to change their own habits, whether it's, you know, their eating habits, their sleeping habits, their, you know, it rubs off on the people around them. And that has a,
yes.
And you know, it's, I love that. I love that when it happens all the time when, particularly with the ladies, because they tend to do a bit more of the cooking and they'll, you know, I'll ask them, I will see how they're getting on with their weight loss results. And they'll say, yeah, it's going well. My husband's not even doing the exercise. And he's just been losing, like he's lost a stone already as well. that's fantastic.
We call that the expansion program, the extended program. You know, the other thing I really want to talk about, because we talked about self-sabotage and stuff. And the other thing, if you don't mind, is I'd really like to bring up, because it's really important, is we live so much, so many people live their lives as human doings instead of human beings. Mm. So we want something. We decide, I want this. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to build a savings. I want to buy that. I want whatever it is. And we set out to doing. And we try. And we try harder and harder and harder. And we continually try harder and harder. And that is the reason why so many people's true desires and visions for their life end up dead of exhaustion, because we tried it to death. When you come from a place of a vision, you stay away from the how, all of a sudden those things start showing up that when we're trying harder and harder, we don't see. It's not that they're not there. It's just that we don't see them because we're trying so hard. So one of the things I do is work with my clients on, instead of being a human doing, let's get more into a human being. And I have taken entrepreneurs who have had their, like I have a one that just called me up in November and said with tears saying, Joseph, I just have to tell you, this has been my, in 18 years of business, this has been my highest year of income and revenue. And it's also been the only time in my life when I was able to take 5 weeks away from work. So they actually lived easier and gained more. Doing this stuff the right way, really committing to it, Matt, is what, that's the doorway it opens. Life becomes easier and more fulfilling, so being, and more rewarding.
Examples on being are things like your downtime, your family time, your time for your health and enjoyment, hobbies. Is that right?
Yeah, greater balance in all areas of your life. You know, we're not meant to work, work, work. I work with a lot of real estate agents or entrepreneurs and such who, you know, part of the whole myth of that is that you work 24/7, right? We hear that a lot of times, especially realtors, entrepreneurs, and stuff. It's like that's your whole commitment to, like, put down everything else and build this. And then once it gets so much, then you can do that. But what happens there is it builds those patterns. So yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So we end up working to exhaustion to where we're living our passion and we can't even stand doing it. Mm. I've done that with coaching. Where I've tried to build it and build it, you know, because I have such an impact and I have such a passion for that, that I would go over and bring in that balance to it. All of a sudden, people start showing up easier, that I get to serve and help and see them grow and expand. And I get to live more balanced. I get to go out and trout fish. I get to spend time on the motorcycle. I get to go to, you know, to Gatlinburg, Tennessee and stay up in the mountains for a week. You know what I mean? I get to, like, and that's what it's about though. It's about bringing about, when one of the things I say in everything I do is my goal is to help people achieve a life of total freedom in whatever that means to them.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. I love that value of freedom. I think that's absolutely huge. One last question. Well, I've got two actually. So one last question is, if you don't mind, is, are there any sort of rituals, routines that are like non-negotiables for you each day for your personal development, success, life?
Yeah. For me, it's prayer.
Right.
Yeah. I get into my vision. I do things like that and stuff. Sometimes I'll write it. Sometimes I'll read, you know, I read something every day, but it can be a multitude of things that I read, but it's that connection point, the prayer.
Just to bring you in present moment. What does that give you?
It reminds me that I have a power breathing me in my life, that I don't have to focus on taking my breaths. And if that power is doing that, there's so much more available. And all I have to do is stick by that and follow that with all my heart and soul. And my life will have the impact that I'm placed here to have. Nice. It's that connection to it.
Okay. I've got to ask, favorite personal development book, most impactful or favorite or both?
There's a bunch of them. I always wonder about throwing my book in here now, just because it changed my life in the writing of it and stuff. The life.
Hey, lessons. It's your book. You can do what you want.
I would really think one of the most powerful, there's so many of them, but one of them is Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Like, that really opened up the door to me understanding, like, it starts out with shutting down the mind, you know, with instead of following it, but then bringing it back in for the intention of it.
I've not heard of that one. Okay.
Oh, that's a great book. It's you know, not a super huge read, but I mean, it's so impactful and powerful. But I mean, there's just so many of them.
Yeah.
Think and Grow Rich would be another, you know, but yeah. But I'll stick with The Untethered Soul because I said that.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast, Joseph. So I'd just love to ask as well, like, where can people find out about you, your programs, you know, any updates, whether it's social media? I'm sure our listeners would love to find out more. So yeah, where can we find
absolutely
out?
Absolutely, man. I really enjoyed this conversation with you this morning. What a great way to get the day going and such is, but they can, anybody that wants can go to coachwithjoseph.com. coachwithjoseph.com. And they can schedule a block of time with me at no cost. And we'll get on the phone. We'll talk about what the struggles, the conditioning, things that are happening right now, not the way they want it to. We'll start that igniting that vision, that dynamic vision we've been speaking of, and then gain some tools on bridging that gap between those two. So when they leave that call, they can end up having some tools they can use to start stepping in that direction. If they want to find out about my programs at that time, they can and such, but it's just a great way to get in touch with me and have that one-on-one conversation.
Fantastic. Well, I'll link to that in the show notes of this show, Joseph, as well.
Thank you.
So people, anyone listening that wants to jump on that and have a chat with Joseph themselves, then definitely check out the show notes so you can find that link. One last thing, Joseph, is there anyone that I should talk to you recommend in the fields of personal development, fitness, health, nutrition, anyone that comes to mind?
That you could serve?
Yeah, that I could do, I could have on the show, yeah.
You know, maybe, yeah. Actually, yeah. I'm thinking of one person, yes, specifically, that's actually a client of mine, and they're moving into like natural childbirth and things like that stuff and the mindset of it and all of that. So possibly, yes.
Okay, brilliant. Well, enjoy that background. I've been loving looking at it.
I'll send you a picture of it without me in it.
yeah. And it's been absolutely awesome to chat to you, Joseph. So thanks again, man. And
same here, yeah, man.
I'm sure we'll catch up
really
soon.
Enjoyed it.